celebrating 1 year. I've had... I've had a total of 4 sponsors. This is not the first time I've had 1 year. I've actually had 5 sponsors if you count the time I try to sponsor myself. But if you do that, you have a fool for a sponsor. Now, the person I asked to speak for me is my second sponsor. And he's the person that taught me to follow suggestions. He's the guy I turned to when I was at my worst. And he'd pick me up. He'd dust me off. And he'd let me use the phone. We'd have a quick meeting. And he'd point me in the right direction. He brought me to all sorts of different meetings and conventions. He really opened up the world of Alcoholics Anonymous to me. It wasn't just I didn't have a narrow vision of the program. I have a broad vision of the program. There's all sorts of history and all sorts of interesting things you can learn about the program. And from this person is where I learned a lot of this from. Now I want to tell one joke. Now, it's an AA joke, but I want to tell it because if memory serves correct, he actually did this to me. All right, so a sponsee is going into a sponsor's house for the first time to do some step work. And the sponsor asks the sponsee, would you like some iced tea? He says, sure. And the sponsor says, okay, but you have to clap. And he says, man, I'm not clapping. He says, well, if you don't clap, you're not getting your iced tea. So he says, okay. And he's clapping, and he's clapping, and he's clapping. I don't hear you clapping. He's a clap louder, and he claps louder. And he comes back with his iced tea, and he says, here you go. And he says, well, why did I have to clap? He says, well, because you're a thief. And if you're clapping, you can't steal anything from my house. So that's really it. Without further ado, Bernie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bernie Hogan. I'm an alcoholic. I don't know if I quite remember that the same way, but anyways, you see, I brought a book up here, so I'm not going to stray too far from that, you know. I have a home group, Friday Night Lights in Apollo Beach. Most of you have been there because you spoke there, and we really appreciate you coming down. My sobriety date is... July 17th, 1994. And I'd like you to know my sponsor is here tonight, and my first sponsor is here tonight. So I got to watch what I say, you know. But anyways, I was told, you know, I should wear a jacket. I wanted to wear shorts and a t-shirt, but no, a jacket. And I knew that anyway, so sometimes we just need a little guidance, you know, to do the right thing, and that's what James was talking about, a little bit of guidance to do the right thing. And I also know that you shouldn't bring notes, but I brought a couple because I'm getting older and my mind kind of forgets it, so I brought a few notes. just kidding. Anyways... You know, it really doesn't matter how you get to AA. A lot of us crawl in. A lot of us are ordered into the courts. And I was kind of sent here by a marriage counselor. You know, I'm sure my wife tells a story differently, but things weren't going too good. It had nothing to do with alcohol. But things weren't going too good in the marriage, and... So we've been going to marriage counseling sessions and switching around because I didn't like that guy, she didn't like this one. So finally found a guy, and you know, you get an hour session, you know, and the wife talked about me and my drinking for 59 and a half minutes. And he asked me if I drank, and I said I had a beer now and then. So he said, I think you should go to AA. And so basically that's how I got here, because I said I'd go to any length to keep my marriage together. I was brought up in upstate New York in a good Irish home, Irish Catholic home, and you know, every Sunday, all 5 of us little kids were marching down to church and everything. So, you know, I knew what church was and like that, and grew up that way. My father owned a bar, and so that was a good start. You know, it was growing up, it was perfectly okay to have a sip of my father's beer anytime we wanted, but you know, as we grew up, the sips got bigger, and so it wasn't quite, it was okay. My brother went in the Navy, and on weekends he was in Newport, Rhode Island, and he'd bring his friends home because it was about a 4-hour drive, something like that. And every one of them would get smashed every day of the weekend, you know, and neighbors would call and say, Mrs. Hogan, you know, your son's friend's hanging out of the car window puking his guts out, and another one sleeping on your porch, and like that. And so that was perfectly okay. That's the kind of household I was brought up in. It was perfectly okay for the guys to drink all they wanted. I mean, whatever. But it wasn't for the girls, you know, that they had different standards than we did. And to carry that out of it, my sister was going to Albany Medical College to become a nurse, and it wasn't, you know, proper for them to drink. They would inject oranges with vodka, and that would be their lunch, you know. But anyways, so that's how I was growing up, you know, and played a little bit of football in high school, and that got in the way of my drinking. I'd rather be partying than playing football and sweating and everything, you know, and going out partying. And I went to a community college up in New York, upstate New York, and I never joined one of those fraternities, but because if you joined one of those, you were locked into a certain set of parties. I freelanced. I went to the mall, and used to, you know, you're a real alcoholic if you get directions by what bar's on the corner. You know, used to do that, and actually used to measure how long it took by what we drank. It started off at my father's bar and drink for free, of course, and then take a six-pack, and that got us just outside the city. And then it was a pint to get a little bit closer. Then we'd stop a bar that was fairly cheap, and then we'd go to the bar that had a cover charge and was expensive. And we didn't need anything to drink by then, you know. There was no problem drinking and driving. I did that very well. I really remember that. I just don't remember where I parked the car very often. It was my mother's car at that. In college, I took some construction courses and drafting and engineering type stuff. And there was a bar outside across the street from the college, and there was a big field there, and we'd go out there surveying and like that, and the professor would go in to get a cup of coffee, and I'd run across the street, and I knew exactly how many drinks I could have before I had to get back before getting caught. With that attitude, the next year, 1966, they asked me not to come back. I don't know why. But in 1966, if you weren't married in college or had a baby, you were getting drafted. And there was only one place you were going if you got drafted, and that was Vietnam. And so I said I wasn't having any of that, so I wasn't going to get drafted and go to Vietnam for 2 years. So they'd send you a year over and a year back and like that. So I joined the Navy. They said I'd get some mechanical drawing and I'd be on a base and all that. And they said that would be, after boot camp, that would be a CB rate, which is Navy construction. And then I found out that the first thing the Seabees ever built was a bar. So it was my type of people. After boot camp, coming back from Great Lakes, you know, the story, Bill's story in the book, and they hired a plane to complete a jag, right? And they got to Manchester and they fell out of the plane. Well, coming home from boot camp was the first time I ever flew. And, you know, your parents and everybody could go right out on the airship to meet you, and you go down. And I fell down the flight of stairs, you know. So it was going right with the family. And identification. Anybody ever make some major decisions in their life while they were drinking? No? Okay. How do you pick your wife when you're drinking, right? A friend of mine, actually his name is on that Vietnam wall right now, introduced me to this girl, and I asked her if I could buy her a drink. You know, this is before going to Vietnam, and she said she would have a Coke. And my opinion thing was, if I was drinking, everybody was drinking, so I had it spiked. What do you expect? You know? But anyway, after that tour of Nam, we got married. Oh, no, let me tell you. And then that very next time I was home for a weekend, we went out on a date, and we went to this Irish club I belong to, Irish Catholic, and of course the drinking's free and everything like that. And she outdrank my friends, and my friends and I could drink. And I said, that's the girl for me. So when I come back from Nam for the first time, I meant to say I joined the Navy for 4 years and I went to Nam twice instead of once. That's how good my decisions were, you know. So we got married in between tours in Nam. So I got here by the marriage counselor. My wife was going to one side of Joe's Club to the Al-Anon, and I was going to, you know, the meeting, and I didn't get a sponsor for a little bit because I didn't want to work the Sims. I met Denny, and we ended up going to Orient Rail jail meetings and charter hospital meetings and like that with Hector, his sponsor, and like that. And I was staying sober. About 2 years in the program, I met another man that was doing a step workshop, and he made the steps simple. Not easy, but simple. And I asked him if he'd sponsor me. This is Jimmy Marino. And he said, I'll take you through the steps. At that point, then we'd talk about sponsorship. And we went through the steps. We went through the steps now. You know, and really made a big difference in my life. You know, I knew why I was in AA. I didn't think I was bad in AA. I didn't even, you know, for 6 months or so, I didn't think I was in a, for 3 months, I wouldn't even say I was an alcoholic. And then every time I got one of these 30-day chips or 60-day chips, my wife would give me a card, a little gift, and her sponsor would give me a little gift. And I go, wait a minute, this doesn't happen to everybody. I must have been really bad or something. I really couldn't do anything without drinking. I couldn't start the car without drinking. Anybody ever drive down and come into a light and step on the brakes and the beer cans roll out from under the seat, you know? And I had a perfect hook, you know, from taking a can and flipping it into the back, you know, of the truck, and not missing, you know, and never got a DUI or anything. Only got stopped one time, and that was, he couldn't really give me a DUI because I just popped the top on a beer. I just bought a 12-pack, and I was really mad because he confiscated that. It was evidence. And he just got me for open container. Never even got a sip. That was at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you know. Well, I work nights, you know. I'm the kind of guy that would work nights and then come home and drink while the kids are eating their Cheerios, getting ready to go to school, you know. So it wasn't a good atmosphere. So anyways, I'd gone through the steps, and my sponsor kept trying to get me to go to this meeting or go to that meeting or go to this convention or go to that convention. He did big book workshops and come help me with this, and I put it all off. You know, and finally he got me to help him with a couple of them, and it was amazing, you know. And the state convention downtown Tampa, kind of a turning point. Because, in the big book, it talks about either God is or God isn't, and what's it going to be? And I really hadn't been faced with that choice. I always thought that chapter of the agnostic wasn't for me because I wasn't agnostic. So why bother reading it, And the sponsor there that weekend, I think her name was Polly, said, she had the answer to that question to her sponsor. And she said, yes, because what if she was, said no and she was wrong? You don't want to do that. So anyways, through the steps and through the program, the spirituality grew. That saying, there's a saying, nothing I say is original. So there's that saying, thank God for AA and thank AA for God. Because AA is what brought me to God. It is a God I grew up with, but a God I didn't understand, to have that conscious contact with God is an amazing thing. And what that means is just that you're comfortable. He's like a soft, warm friend, and, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be at 7 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. You don't have to be dressed this way. You have that contact always. And even when you have a fleeting thought, you can say, thank you, God, for that. Or if it's a negative thought, you can say, God, just please take this thought away, And so it's been 20 years now in this program. And James kept me sober for a long time. I always thought that when you're sponsoring somebody, if you have them read this, you need to read it yourself. You hear people say that the road gets narrower as you get more years, and that's the truth. We come in and they say, talk about honesty, or are you talking IRS honesty, you're talking this kind of, bank, whatever, and honesty is honesty, and integrity is integrity, and like that, and morals are morals. So, as you get farther into the program, you realize that. One time, I went to Home Depot or something like that, and I bought 20 bags of mulch, and they were supposed to be right out to load it, right? And this is in sobriety. And I got home, there was 21, because I had to load it myself, and I really peed at them, So I said, screw this, and I'm going to get paid for that one. And I got home, and I was using the mulch, and I had to stop and go back and pay for that bag of mulch, because it was back here, So that's how honesty is honesty, You're not doing it for other people. You're doing it for yourself. We're trying to get rid of that guilt, shame, and remorse, because that's what drives us to the next drink. With James and Clark, too, would come over to the house probably once a week, and we'd have a little book study, and we really enjoyed that. After the first of the year, we're going to start a little bit of something at Joe's Club on a Monday night, probably about 7:15. Paul's here. He's going to be involved in that, and hopefully Willie and a few others. And it'll be kind of that kind of workshop-type meeting. And while I'm plugging meetings, we're going to do a candlelight meeting the day after Christmas at Friday Night Lights. It's really a spiritual meeting. You should be there. Don't miss it. did anybody get a little woozy earlier today? Because I'm leaving on a 40-day, two-day cruise tomorrow, and my wife's packing, and all the stuff is in one location. I'm sure it's going to throw off the gravity of the earth, and instead of going east, we're going to go west or something, because there's always one more suitcase. But in sobriety, I spoke about Jimmy trying to get me to go here and go there. So finally, I couldn't get out of it, and I had to start going to other meetings. The only meetings I was going to was Joe's Club. And so the only thing I knew was that what that core of people there was saying. And I would shut my mind off before they even said it, because I knew what they were going to say. And I love coming here, and one of the reasons I love coming here is to see how young you people are, how vital you are, how active you are, how you're into the program, the steps and everything, and your service work. It really does me good to see that. I appreciate that. Thank you all for your work. And So in sobriety, I've gotten to go to Geneva, Switzerland, and do a step workshop there, and that was great. And I got to go to where the Oxford Group, anybody know about the Oxford Group? Well, it's now the Initiative to Change, and we got to go there, and there's a museum there, and the curator took us in and fed us lunch and showed us this museum and explained the origins of AA. So it was fantastic. Gotten to go to the International Convention in San Antonio. If you've never been to the International Convention, next year in Atlanta, it's coming. Please make it. You know, you'll never regret it. And we've gotten to go, Willie and I have gotten to go to Founders Day in Akron. And I can't tell you how many spiritual experiences you have. If you don't think you've ever had a spiritual experience, all you got to do is walk up those steps to Dr. Bob's house and see that welcome home banner. I get a chill just thinking about it now. I mean, it's probably the first time I felt really, truly at home. You know, we're at home at meetings and everything. But when you see that sign on Ardmore Street, you know, it's something else. And the group we went up to with... we got to see all the things throughout Akron that are in the book and everything, all the places and like that, and trustees dinner and like that. And we got to go upstairs in Dr. Bob's house and do the surrender prayers around the bed and everything. And then as part of our group, you had to take other people through them. And I'll tell you what, when you go through the surrender steps around the bed, there's not a dry eye in the place. You know, in a small bedroom, you can only fit so many people in there, you know. And then I was supposed to meet everybody downstairs and go to the trustees' luncheon. And nobody came to take my place, and another group came through. And I got to do it about 7 or 8 times. And each time was a spiritual experience, each time. To go into the hospital where Sister Ignatia worked, you know, they had a little chapel set up, and I had a spiritual experience. Every place you go, there's a spiritual experience. Is it really, you know, it's something else? So I've gotten to do a lot of things. I've gotten to travel a lot because of AA, you know. If I was still drinking, I mean, I've been on a cruise drinking, and I would bring my own suitcase of beer because it was much cheaper. And every time I put a six pack in the sink and they'd put ice on it, and every time I take one off, the cabin steward would take another beer out of the suitcase and put it in there and put more ice on it. But you know, now I remember them. Now I've gotten a chance to cruise all over the world. And before I ever go on a cruise, I look up every port and see where there's going to be a meeting. And even if you're in port on a Monday and the meeting there is not until Wednesday, at least I know where it is, and I go and I find where that meeting is going to be. And but I've been to meetings in Istanbul, I've been to meetings in Bermuda, I've been to meetings just all over the world. And there's always meetings on the ships also. And give you an idea, my son, I always thought he was smart, but he moved him and his family to northern Idaho in November a few years ago. Yeah, what's wrong with this guy? You know, moved from Florida. And so we went up the next year to see him and the grandkids and like that. And after 2 days, I needed a meeting. I said, where are you going to find a meeting here? You know, 650 people in the whole area. And so I went online, I looked, and there was a meeting not too far away. You know, there were 35 people there. And it was a great meeting. So I went back the second day, and everybody's, oh, hi, Bernie, how are you? And it was like I was there, you know. It was like my home group, you know. And there was another 35 people there, but they were different people, you know. And I kid my son to this day, I still have more friends there than you do. Because... I forget, when I go into an AA meeting, any place in the world, you know, they're just friends I haven't met yet. Well, that's what this program does for you. There's so many rewards to this program. It's unbelievable. grandkids. I'm from 8 to 21, and none of them have ever seen me drink. My kids call me and want to know how I'm doing. I take my grandkids all over the city, all the zoo, the aquarium, and everything. My kids trust me with them. Years ago, I wouldn't trust me with them. As a matter of fact, I've made amends to all my boys, but I have three sons. And every once in a while, the youngest one goes, "Hey, Dad, remember when you drove me down the one-way street the wrong way?" He's just a zinger. He likes to throw that in there just to keep me awake. But thank you very much. Thank you for having me.